What's up, everybody? This is Aren't You Funny, aka Drew, bringing you yet another episode of Peace of Mind. I know I gave you all a quick update last week, just letting you all know that I wasn't going to be posting any episodes that week because I had gotten into my friendly competition with Mr. Pobzer. That was a lot of fun, but now we are back into podcast mode and we're back into the content creation mode, the meaningful content creation where, you know, hopefully I'll be helping you change your life a little bit and figure some things out for yourself so you can get on track or make things even better. I mean, who's going to complain about that? So per my usual, I want to start out by saying thank you all so much for being here, first of all, because without you all, the podcast wouldn't be happening. I would have just been like, you know what? It's not even worth it. I'm not even going to bother. But you all keep listening and keep showing up and keep sharing it, like I, you know, mentioned in the update, and I appreciate that. So thank you so much for the support. Also, thank you so much because I think that I got up to like 27 listeners for the very first episode, which is insane to me because I never thought that I would get to that point. So thank you. Because it's really awesome. I keep getting good feedback about the podcast, so I guess we'll keep doing it. So on Thursdays, I'm considering switching the podcast to that day. If you all feel like that's a good idea, please feel free to give me the feedback because I would like to hear it. Otherwise, I'll just plan on continuing to do it on Tuesdays. So just let me know what you all would prefer there. I think that's all the housekeeping stuff. So, per the rest of my usual introduction, I am a mental health therapist by day. The purpose of this podcast is to kind of bleed, some of my professional life over into my personal life because I feel like there's a lot of things that I learn at work, on a daily basis, interacting with other people, other professionals, whatever the case may be, where I'm like, you know what, that might really help somebody. So the purpose is to try and give you some food for thought, give you some things to think about, give you some perspective, give you some ways to maybe consider dealing with things that you hadn't been considering previously, all that good stuff. So if you're joining us for the first time, that's kind of what you can expect from us. I have a very special guest with me today who I will introduce here in a minute. But before we really, really get started, one thing that I want you all to know is that though I am a mental health therapist by day, I'm not doing this podcast to try and be your mental health therapist. I'm not trying to replace anything you have going on. I'm not trying to do anything that's going to disrupt what you have going on. This is merely like a supplement. It's merely an addition to what you've got going on currently. Because, you know, I'm definitely not in any kind of position to be your therapist, digitally or otherwise. And I don't think it would be very appropriate. So instead, you know, I highly recommend that you continue anything you've got going on. And, I recommend that if you are really considering harming yourself, that you find the help that will really be able to help you. So that's, talking to the National Suicide Hotline. I think I haven't checked it out, so I may regret saying this, but there's also something connected with 13 Reasons Why, which is a popular TV show if you're not aware of it. I think that they have a website for like suicide help and prevention. And then also if you just Google your city and state and Google crisis services, you should be able to find something that will help as well. I'm not trying to be, you know, dismissive and be like, oh, well, you're going to hurt yourself. Oh, well, I don't care. You know, it's not about that. I'm just not a good resource. I'm just a random dude on the internet. So with all of that being said, I feel like that was a really lengthy intro, but that's okay. I'm getting back into the swing of things. I have with me a very special guest that you all should have heard in a previous episode. And if you've not, then you should go do that. By the name of Bee Crafty. So she's here with me, and Bee, do you want to introduce yourself real quick and give a little spiel about who you are, what you do, that kind of good stuff?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm be crafty. I broadcast crafts and things that I make, that I actively sell at a farmer's market, to help supplement income over at over on Twitch. I broadcast on Twitch, and I'm a mom of two kids, almost a teenager, and she wants to be 30. And
Sounds about right.
yeah, exactly. but yeah, I'm a wife and mother, and so I guess what today we're going to talk about is ways I cope with ever-changingness, or is that what we were going to talk about? We didn't do the notes. We didn't do the notes.
Yeah, we didn't do notes today. I was like, you know what? We were pretty good just flying off the cuff, and I've got a good idea of how we can guide the conversation. So I didn't focus too much on doing like specific notes today. Yeah, so which maybe I'll end up regretting, but I doubt it. No, but yeah, so essentially the idea behind the episode today, as far as I'm concerned, and we'll kind of see how this goes, and see where the episode takes us. Essentially, one of the things that I think comes up quite a bit in my talks with other people, or just things that I've really thought about in general, involve parenting and involve like how that affects your life, how you adjust to it. How you deal with all of these changes, and just how parenting impacts you on a very, really kind of cellular level, and just how crazy it can make things sometimes. So, yeah, that was kind of the main gist of what I was looking to cover today, because that's something that's really been on my mind, and I'm sure that people would like to hear perspective of other parents, because I know that in itself can kind of bring some peace of mind and all that good stuff. So,
I see what you did there.
right, roll credits. We said we said the title, roll credits.
Right, exactly.
So that was my main idea behind it, was being able to talk about how parenting affects life, adjustments that you made, that kind of stuff. And then, of course, I'll also do the same. So go for it. Feel free to start and give us a little bit of background of how you came to be a parent, and how, your mindset prior to being a parent, that kind of stuff.
Well, my husband and I got married in 2002, and before we got married, we had that whole, parent, do you want to have kids? When is the right time? Da 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 da, type of conversation, and we were both very, very clueless. We were like, okay, well, when is it? When are we supposed to have kids? You know, when, is there like a after you get a house, or after you pay off your car, or whatever, whatever, when do you have kids? And what we realized that it's not like going to Walmart and getting a can of chili. It's like
No, it is nothing like that. I would agree.
it's so we came to the agreement that we would have kids whenever it happened. And if it happened, if it didn't happen, we were happy. If it did happen, we were happy. And so we were married for 2.5, almost 3 years when I found out I was pregnant. And everybody was like, oh, well, when are you gonna have kids? And then I took it was a really cool experience because I hadn't felt right. And I went to the doctor, and my doctor, I hadn't even think of pre thought of pregnancy. I was like, I think I got the flu. I was like, I just don't feel right. I was like, I don't have a fever, but I just feel gross. And And she was like, "Do you think you could be pregnant?" And John and I both laughed at the same time. I'll
Like,
never forget
yeah, best joke ever.
Yeah,
Good
no.
one, Doc.
And so she did this thing that I'll never forget. She said, "Well, you know, let's take a pregnancy test. If I walk back in here, then you're pregnant. If the nurse comes in, you probably have like a sinus infection or something, and we'll just give you something for that." So, like, it was the longest 5 minutes of my entire life, where I went pee and then came back to the room and waited. And the doctor walked in, and I was like, "Hey, you're joking. No, where's the nurse?"
No, really.
And she was like, "No, really. Congratulations." I was like, "What? What?"
What do you mean?
So she said a lot of things that I didn't hear, or I don't remember, because all I heard was, "Congratulations, you're gonna be parents."
Yeah.
That's all I heard.
Then you kind
And
of, it's like
all
the
that was
one of
going
those
through my
war
brain was
scenes.
like, my brain was just like, "What?
Yeah.
Wait, really? No. What?"
Truly,
And
you
so
jest.
she hand right, exactly. And so I was 22, and terrified, absolutely mortified, because I was the youngest of three. I didn't know how to take care of a baby.
Yeah.
I was like, I had zero experience taking care of children. Everybody took care of me. What am I supposed to do?
How do I do this?
I in the process of she said I was like 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks pregnant, and that I was going to have Joey on April Fool's.
Ironic.
She said, she and I was like, "No, you're kidding, right?" She said, "No, the destined, you know, the date is April 1st." I was like, "Oh, great."
Okay.
Okay. Okay, let's all right. And so in the process of looking up, you know, she was like, "Oh, you got to take your prenatal vitamins, and you've got to do this, and you know, eating for two doesn't necessarily mean two adult size plates." And
Dang it.
and was like, "Really? I know, right?"
Are you sure?
Yeah. And so I didn't believe her and ate two full adult size plates of food like throughout my pregnancy and gained like 60 pounds. And
Okay.
it was bad. It was really
Tastes a little
bad.
bad.
I was like, "No, it's water weight. It's baby.
Yes,
Nobody cares about
it's
60
purely baby
pound
weight.
baby.
We got
It's
this.
baby." And so that was an experience all by itself. But I was really kind of in this awe of like, okay, I have this tiny human inside of me. What do I do now? So after I had him, you know, flash forward. Oh, and I want to stress, definitely eat right and exercise, because I had hypertension because I didn't eat right, and it was bad. It was bad. So after Joey was born, they put him on my chest, and I cried, and everybody was like, "Oh, she's so happy." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm so happy." I was terrified.
And yeah, scared out of my mind.
I was crying because I was scared out of my mind. Now I'm
Right.
responsible for this little bitty human,
Right.
and what am I gonna do?
Yeah.
And so I went to my doctor a few weeks later. I had postpartum depression and a couple of other things going on. And I went to her and I said, "Seriously, I don't know what I'm doing."
Yeah, please
I was,
send help.
please, what? I'm like deer in headlights this entire time. What do I do with this little bitty human? All he does is cry.
Right.
And so she hooked me up with this really fantastic group in my hometown called Alliance for Families and Children.
Okay.
And Julie was fantastic. And I encourage any new parent that just has no support system,
yeah,
and is like doing it on their own, seek somebody,
yeah,
whether it's a system in your town, or whether it's a person, or whether it's just somebody. 'Cause Julie, I haven't talked to her since, God, 12 years. I want to say 12 years now. And I still remember the first day she came in, I gave her a big hug and she was like, "It's okay. We're going to figure this out."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh my God.
Are you sure?
I was like, "Is everything going to be okay?" And she was like, "Yeah, everything's going to be fine." And she said, "People have been having kids the entire existence. You're going to be fine."
Yeah.
And so she got to know me, and it's very important for a social worker to get to know a person and before they start administering things.
Yeah, any kind of assistance.
'Cause, right. So yeah. So she definitely did that. She listened to me and she got to know me a little bit. And then she understood that I like to read.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that I was very, she was like, "You're really smart." And I was like, "Oh, thanks, I guess. Thank you." And so she was like, "Do you mind if I bring you like articles and things from online?" 'Cause I didn't have the internet at the time.
Sure.
And I said, "Oh, that'd be fantastic."
Yeah.
And so every week she'd bring me a new set of papers for me to look over and read about ages and stages and about what kids are supposed to be doing and not doing and what to look out for and not to be worried about this or that or, you know, and it was such a huge resource. It was so fantastic that she was there for me.
Yeah.
And I even they had their 1 year evaluation where the people came in to listen about stories and stuff from caseworkers. Julie asked me to come and talk to the people who fund Alliance for Families and Children.
Nice.
And how they impacted me.
And you're like, "Look, I was like, my entire life is different. Thank you."
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, pre-pregnancy, I was going to Waffle House at, like, 2 in the morning and, like, not caring. And it's like, "Oh, I need waffle batter. I'm going to run to the store. Come home. Oh, well, I forgot trash cans. Go back to the store." I mean, it was just as easy as just getting in your car and going to the store.
Mm-hmm.
But after you have kids, you have to make sure. I mean, they don't take their diaper bag with them. You're not like, "Okay, kids, we're getting in the car."
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't.
I don't see a 4 month old all of a sudden just picking up their diaper bag and be like, "All right, mom, let's go." Like, nah.
Right, exactly. I've got everything. I might be hungry in a little while, so I'm going to put a snack in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And no, you have to think about yourself and your child.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's so exhausting. It's rewarding. I'm saying this all in jest, but it really is.
Oh yeah.
And I thought that I was a handful taking care of my own self.
Sure.
But no, you know,
didn't even scratch the surface.
Exactly. And you have to make sure you have the pacifier and you
Oh, yeah.
have, the extra bottles and the butt cream. Oh God, the butt
Oh,
cream.
yeah. The
Always
butt
have the butt
cream.
cream.
Yes. Whatever form
And
of, yeah, sealant that you prefer to use, always have that.
right,
Always.
exactly.
Always,
Always have the
always.
butt cream. And so it changed, and I lost a couple of friends because I couldn't just go to the movies
Yeah.
anymore. They couldn't just
Yeah.
call up, "Hey, let's go have lunch." I'm like, "Well, if you had called me at 9 o'clock and said, let's go have lunch, then maybe I'd be ready in time." But yeah, calling me at 11:30 and saying, "Meet me in 15 minutes," just doesn't work for me anymore.
Not gonna cut
Yeah. And so I lost a couple of friends.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to terrify anybody, but
No, I mean, it's the truth.
it happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does happen. And because you can't go drinking when you're breastfeeding.
Right. Yeah, imagine that. I mean, you can, but you can also expect some big trouble to come your way, for sure.
Exactly. I mean, you could and
Yeah. You got to be really smart
you
about it.
have the ability to, but it may not be the smartest option.
Right. Yeah, I mean, always find what's best for you, but yeah, typically speaking,
Right.
yeah.
And also with breastfeeding, I had to change my entire diet because things were making Joey gassy.
Yeah.
Things that I was eating was making Joey gassy, so I had to change my diet so he wasn't uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's all about accommodating somebody else other than you. And
Yeah.
I it was just
Constantly.
yes,
Yeah.
but it is rewarding,
Oh, yeah.
especially like today, my Joey, my 13-year-old, he came up to me like four or five times today, and I had been the meanest mom this past week. I was like, "You're not leaving your room until you clean it up." They still
Yeah.
don't have their room clean. He's waiting me out.
That
That's
sounds about
another
right.
thing. And he still doesn't have his room clean, but he came out and he was like, "Mom, I'm going to bed. Let me give you a hug and kiss goodnight." And I'm like,
Yeah.
even though what? Even though I'm the meanest mom in the whole wide world and I'm not letting you have your phone or anything, you still want to give me a hug and kiss? I was like, "Oh, you're so you
You
do
sweetie
love
boy.
me. You're
Yeah.
so sweet."
Yeah.
What do you
Yeah.
want?
What are you milking me for? Yeah, there's always the ulterior motive,
Right, exactly. But yeah, it's being a parent versus not being a parent is like night and day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And rolling with it, like once I thought I had the routine down,
Wrong.
no, wrong. I was like, okay, Joey goes down for a nap at 9 o'clock, gets up at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, then we have lunch and then we play for a little while and then he goes down for another nap at like 1 o'clock and then gets back up at 2 o'clock and then we're gonna have dinner at 5 o'clock. Yeah, no.
No.
Once you get that nailed down where you're like, yes, this is what's happening,
I've got this. No.
then it's like, nope, I'm gonna decide I don't want a nap today.
Yep. Yep. I'm not gonna nap. I don't feel like playing, or I am gonna nap, but I'm only gonna nap for half the time I normally do. Yeah,
Right.
all that good stuff for sure.
Yeah. As soon as you think you got it, it's like
Wrong again.
I learned that. I learned that with Joey and with Tori. I would look at John and be like, "I got this schedule down. It's about to get messed up."
I can feel it slipping right now as I speak. This is about to go away.
Just hold on tight, honey. We're about to go into another one.
Exactly.
It's just like contractions.
Hold my hand. Oh, this sucks.
Sucks. Okay, it's better for a little
Get
bit.
me out of here.
Oh no.
I just want to go home. Hold me. Yep. All that. Yep.
Yeah,
Yep.
exactly.
Yeah.
I just make it stop. I
Yeah.
don't want to be pregnant anymore.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, there's and I'm definitely gonna do an episode. Actually, I may try to have my wife on. We'll see how that goes. But about like the whole pregnancy experience and about, because I mean that in itself is just so much material to cover. It's ridiculous.
It is.
But the
It
pregnancy
is.
experience and like the fourth trimester, you know, the one that nobody really talks about until they get there, all that good stuff. But
Yeah.
yeah, for sure. Like there's so know podcast listeners that we will probably cover some very similar material later on. But this will be specifically about life as a parent, not the whole birth experience and like, you know, postpartum depression and all that stuff. I know we've touched about that a little bit, so you all have some background about B's experience, but yeah, so we'll definitely go into a lot more depth about that at some point. So if you're interested in that, stay tuned.
Yeah. But yeah, being a parent, just there's I don't know what more to, I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah. Well, and so then
It's just
I guess if it's okay, I'll do a little bit of my own little anecdote real quick, and then we'll hop into like
sure.
application, if you will.
Sure.
So I think, you know, obviously I didn't carry a child. I know little to nothing about that. I do know a lot about supporting the person carrying the child. I feel like I did a decent job at that. I mean, you'd always do better. I did a decent job at that, trying to make sure she stayed off her feet, you know, trying to make sure she was taken care of, trying to make sure she wasn't like, you know, straining herself and wasn't doing too much and, you know, all that good stuff. So there's a lot of that piece, but I, you know, I will never, well, at least I don't foresee any time in the near future that I will be carrying a child or that I will be involved in that particular part of the process. So I can't speak to that at all. However, what I can speak to is my experience after my daughter was born and about just kind of the adjustments I had to make in my own perspective, my own lens, my own worldview. And really how I can't overstate enough how much it completely changes your life. And I know that that's very cliche. Like a lot of people say that, a lot of people talk about it, but the gravity of it doesn't really ever hit you until you're in that situation. And
Exactly.
it is massive. It is so huge. And I'm gonna say something that's probably I know you'll be fine with, but I know that you know it may rankle some chains, but it's my truth. So a lot of people specifically talk about like caring for a pet or caring for an animal or caring for whatever. They're like, well, you know, it's the
That's
same.
exactly what I was gonna say.
Yeah, so
I
they
was gonna say it's not the same.
Well, it's not the same. What I will say that is probably unpopular is that there are a lot of similarities. I will give you that. So I was a pet owner well before I was a parent, and I've owned pets off and on my entire life, more or less. I've helped care for a pet. You know, I cared for a pet on my own. Well, not on my own, but I've cared for a pet with my wife. You know, we called him our fur baby, that kind of stuff. And I agree, that there are a lot of similarities. And I think that's something that's probably not going to sit well with some parents, and that's okay. You can bring your opinions to the table by all means. What I will say is that it nowhere near matches the intensity of the commitment and of how much it completely changes everything. Because, when I say that that being a parent shook me to my core, and it still is, I think there's no real way to describe it other than to say that it impacts every thought, every decision that you make, every night that you go to bed, every day that you wake up, every day that you're in the shower, everything. Being a pet owner, you have some of that, but it's nowhere near that scale. And so
Can I tell a story
yeah,
with
please.
that real quick?
Yeah, please.
Okay, with the whole it affects your day and night thing.
Yeah.
Okay, Joey was maybe 1.5. We just took the bars off his crib because he was like crawling over the top of it and everything.
Yeah.
He's like maybe a little before one, maybe 1 year old. He
Yeah.
couldn't, oh no, he walked at one, and yeah, so maybe 18 months, somewhere around there.
Okay.
And we took the bars off his crib, converted it into a bed, and it was, I think it was a couple of weeks in, that he had his bed, that I woke up in the morning and I went in there to wake him up like I always do, and he wasn't in his bed.
It's like, oh no.
And I was like, oh, where's Joey? So I went back to my bed thinking that he crawled into our bed. Went back to our bed, woke John up and said, is Joey in the bed with us? I said, no, I don't think so. Okay.
This is not
Okay. I
good.
mean, I always, right? Exactly. I mean, and we went to the extent where because we lived in a trailer park, and there was a daytime mental facility up the street from us where they would walk up and down the street to go get their sodas and stuff on break and whatnot. So I was like, oh crap. And so, we locked all our doors and windows at night, so I checked every door, every window, every I started crying at this point because he wasn't anywhere in the house.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, what?
Yeah.
What? And so I was like, John, you need to call 911 right now. Tell him we can't find our son.
Right.
And he was, I just had this
Mother's
when you have a
instinct.
baby,
Yep.
yeah, this mother's instinct. But when you have a baby, I don't know if your wife did this, but I got supersonic mom hearing, and I know I joke
Yeah.
about supersonic mom
Yeah.
hearing, but it really is. It's like you could hear a flea sneeze and
Yeah.
be like, what is that?
Yeah.
And so I heard a toy in Joey's room, and we didn't have our dog anymore. So I was like, is he like underneath his diaper table or something, like playing hide and seek, like he being funny? And so and so I went into his room, got on my hands and knees, and there he was asleep with his pillow and his blanket underneath his bed.
That's awesome.
And oh my God, I was,
The sheer amount of
I
relief
was,
and frustration and
yes.
oh yeah.
And so I called into the other room. I was like, John, tell him it's okay. Tell him we
Yep,
found him.
cancel. Yep, cancel it.
Cancel. And he was like, are you sure? Where is he? I was like, he was sleeping under his bed. And he was like, what? He
Being
was
a normal
under his
kid.
bed. Yeah, he was under his bed. So when all else fails, look underneath the bed.
That's a fair point. When all else fails, look under the bed. The boogeyman did not
So, I
take your
mean, that
child.
was
They are just chilling.
exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's so that was the whole terrifying, like, oh my gosh, because when you look at this child, you see yourself.
Oh yeah,
And it's like,
absolutely.
oh my God, a piece of me just went missing.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
And I couldn't have imagined the whole sheer protection and love and affection and everything that comes with just seeing your child for the first time.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was just very, very, very overwhelming. And for him to go missing was just like, okay, Mama Bear, where is he?
Yeah. Tap into those instincts. Get out the bloodhounds. We're gonna figure this out. Right.
Exactly. So that's my little it changes everything
Yeah,
type of
absolutely.
thing.
Yeah, and it's
Terrifying.
right. And I really cannot, like, again, for, and I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, well, you don't know until you have your own. But like, and this is one of those scenarios where it's really true. Like, you can kind of empathize. And again, unpopular opinion, pet owners will be able to empathize with this to some extent, of like, when your dog goes missing, you start freaking out and you're like, okay, well, I don't know what to do about this. Or, okay, well, I may not be able to randomly go do this or go do that, depending on your pet's independence or abilities or whatever. It could just be a simple like, okay, well, I'll go put them in their cage. But you can't, if you do that with a kid, I'm pretty sure CPS is going to get involved. So it's little things
Well,
like that.
and it's not as easy as, oh, they'll come home eventually,
No.
because it turns into the Taken scenario. I will find
Exactly.
you and I will murder
Exactly.
you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, the amount of parenting instincts that kick in is very surprising, because you will turn into a very fierce protector. And I think a lot of the times it surprises me even now. And I mean, I've only had my child for 10 months, but it's been such a drastic shift and turn in the way that I react to things now, that I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is unexpected. So yeah, and I think another thing with this is, I do think that other people can empathize, and I think that people that have never been parents can understand a lot about being a parent. And I never want to trivialize that, because like, for one of the very first questions I would get as a therapist for kids would be, well, do you have kids of your own? Like, well, no, but I can understand. Like, I know, I can understand scenarios. I understand human behavior to a certain extent, so I will be able to help, but it's not my job to be the kid's parent anyway. So I can function in my role. That does not mean that I'm the expert on being a parent. That does not mean that I will be able to fully understand your struggle. That does not mean that, I will understand the sleepless nights and all of that stuff, and the sheer amount of panic and terror that you experience as a parent when something goes wrong. I won't understand any of that on the same level that you do. However, I'm able to empathize with that. So I think that's one thing that I hear a lot from other people, is like, well, if you don't have kids, you can't understand. It's like, well, that's not necessarily true. People can understand, and if you're willing to take the time to at least try and help them understand your scenario or your situation, it can happen. And again, people, and not, I keep coming back to pet owners, but people that have cared for another thing on a level more than just like a, hey, I like you. So it could be somebody taking care of a relative, or somebody that's completely dependent on you, those people will be able to understand at least to some extent, because mm-hmm. ultimately when you're parenting, and one caveat that I'll put to this is that it's not just parenting, it's parenting like and caring about it. Because I mean, don't get me wrong, there are plenty of parents that do not care, and there are plenty of parents that are not involved at all, and that's fine. Like, to each their own. I'm not here to judge those people. They have their reasons, they have their life choices, you know, they're dealing with those life choices however they're dealing with them, whatever the case may be. But for any parent that like legitimately cares about their kid and cares about their kid's well-being, that's the kind of stuff that you'll see is like, you know, the instincts that kick in that you don't expect, or the fiercely protective situation, just like all of the above. It's insane. It really mm-hmm. is.
Yeah, it is.
And so one other quick thing, and then I'll get back to you, B. So I think one thing that a lot of people don't grasp, and that I'm still trying to kind of come to terms with myself, is how much and how easy it is to lose yourself in the process of being a parent. I've always been a gamer. I've always enjoyed my game time. I've always, like, my wife, when we got married, knew what she was getting. She knew that I am very into my games. She also knows that I care very much about her, so I make her a priority. But ultimately, games aren't going to go anywhere. And so she knew that early on. And so then she joined me instead of fighting them. And we've had a great relationship because of that. But as much as I care about those games, ultimately, I spend nowhere near the amount of time that I used to playing games, because I currently hold another human being's life partially in my hands. And I say partially because, I mean, it's my wife and I raising her together. The amount of time that I want to spend with her and try and help her be the best human being possible outweighs a lot of my own interests. And it's something that my wife is struggling with as well, where it's like, okay, well, where do I fit into this scenario? All the previous selfishness of, you know, these are my dreams, these are my aspirations, these are my goals, a lot of that takes a back seat when you become a parent. And a lot of that, like, that existential crisis of who am I comes into play, because then you're like, okay, well, yes, I am a parent, and that is part of my identity, but what else am I at the end of the day? Like, when my kid goes to sleep, or when my kid eventually goes out on their own, who am I? And what do I do? Mm-hmm. And how is having this kid shifted that? Because I know that you're in a very different point than I am right now, B, because, I mean, you have older kids than I do, in the sense that they're a lot mm-hmm. more independent. Granted, they still depend on you quite a bit, but they're a lot more independent than mine. You know what I'm saying. you've been in my scenario.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's definitely a crisis of who am I? Because I went from, I was very different. I went from having a full-time job to only being a mom. Yeah. And my, you know, being a mom was my full-time job. And I absolutely had a crisis. I was like, okay, who am I? Besides being wife and mother, who am I?
Right.
What do I do to cultivate who my who I mean, because
who you are,
I
right?
told, I told John, I said, you're anybody could take my place. Who am I? And I definitely had quite a few breakdowns,
Yeah.
because I just didn't know. I knew where I fit in as of I'm a mom, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But it wasn't, it doesn't, it wasn't that it wasn't satisfying,
Sure.
because of course, being a mom is satisfying,
Yeah.
but it's like, okay, when do I take a vacation? Because when I was a waitress, I was like, okay, I worked from this time to this time. I had this day off. I could do whatever I wanted to do, da 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 da. And being a parent is 24/7. It's, you don't, especially being a stay-at-home mom parent, it's 24/7. It's no, you, what's a break?
Yeah.
What? I
Yeah.
mean, you're when I when after I had Joey, I literally had to take 5 minute showers, because I just, I couldn't spend the time that I normally would to like make sure that my legs were shaved or to make sure
Sure.
that, I put conditioner in my hair or anything like that. It was just very, very quick in and out. Did I wash all my parts?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was pretty much, okay, do I stink today? I don't
Right.
want to stink today.
Right.
And so it was nuts. It
Still
was really
is,
nuts.
just in a different way.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
Having a 13-year-old, and I feel like the most terrible mom in the whole wide world because I keep forgetting how.
Oh, sorry, everybody. So give me just a minute. Apparently, I disconnected from the party for some reason. That's bizarre. So she got cut off mid story. Sorry, B. Okay, so we end up ending that episode with a little bit of technical difficulties there at the end, which actually ended up being perfect timing because, as it just so happens, this is going to end up being a three-part episode. That's right, three parts, the first time we've ever done that. But B and I just talked for a really long time, and I felt like we brought such good content that I had to break it up into three parts to kind of keep around that hour range. That I feel like is pretty optimized for you all. But hopefully you all are enjoying it as much as I'm enjoying bringing it to you because I'm learning a lot through this process. So hopefully you are too. Along with that, please feel free to revisit this episode and other episodes at now and at different points in your life because I think sometimes hearing this information can be a little bit overwhelming. But if you come back to it, and you listen to it again after you've had a little bit more life experience and you've had a little bit more changes in your life, then you actually end up getting even more information out of the episodes. So I hope that that holds true for you, and I hope that this brought you at least a little bit of peace of mind. Peace out, everybody.